congratulations on what has to be one of the most single remarkable seasons in the history of Carleton basketball. You've done pretty well.
Well, thank you very much. And as I've said before, you know, it's not lost on me how fortunate I am and how appreciative I am. My first year as a head coach, you know, to have the type of team that we have this year. We have a really talented group of players. We have an older, experienced team, which helps a ton. And we really have a hardworking and a really unselfish team too. And you know, I've jokingly said that my job is really to kind of get out of the way and, you know, stay out of the way and not screw it up. And just because of the type of, you know, the type of young men that we have, the type of players. And none of that is lost on me. And I'm very appreciative. And I, you know, I've been at Carleton for, you know, this is my 10th year. It's my first year as a head coach, mm-hmm. but you know, I've had a lot of familiarity with the players and their families as far as, you know, going through the recruitment process with them and, you know, in my time, you know, as an assistant working with them and whatnot. And I think that's the familiarity certainly helps, but, you know, talking about the success on the floor, it's, you know, having as talented group as we have and as coachable a group is really a blessing. And I'm very fortunate to be in the situation.
Yeah. Now let's back up a little bit. You have been an assistant coach. You were an assistant coach for 9 seasons prior to this. And you coached for a legend himself, Guy Calland.
That's correct. And I'm so appreciative of my time with Guy. And, you know, I've known Guy going back to my own time as a student athlete. I played at St. Olaf and coached there for a couple of years. And then I spent 6 years as an assistant at Augsburg University. Mm-hmm. And so I've been in the conference. And I'm kind of an MIAC lifer. I've been in the conference for, I think, 23 years now. And
wow.
Have known Guy for quite some time. And you know, the opportunity for me to come and coach with him, you know, 10 years ago was really an amazing opportunity. He is my father-in-law as well. And so we share a unique and special kind of relationship and bond from that standpoint.
Yeah.
But from purely a coaching standpoint, you know, he's terrific. And I'm so appreciative of my time, you know, being able to be around him and just to be able to observe, you know, how he went about coaching and how that kind of compared and was different than the other coaches I had worked with and really his emphasis on teaching. And he's such a phenomenal teacher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how he approaches his practices, his practice plans, just the attention to detail and the diligence and all of that. And really the type of fit that he was at Carleton too and working with the great student athletes that we have at Carleton. And so, yeah, so I'm very appreciative of my time with him. And, I've learned so much in my time and I'm so appreciative of, you know, the opportunity that he gave me and the responsibility that he gave me. I think that's helped prepare me quite a bit for, you know, the type of year that we've had, you know, and just the group that we have this year.
You know, it has to have been an interesting situation. You were hired as the head basketball coach in April and you're taking over from a guy who is not just the all-time winningest basketball coach at Carleton, but your father-in-law. but you also, I would think, have your own ideas, and you've got your own mark to put on that team. What was that a bit of a balancing act for you? How did that go for you?
Yeah, I would say there's, you know, for me, there have been some things that have certainly been different this year. You know, my role as the head coach. But again, I go back to it. I'm so appreciative of the responsibility that Guy had given me, particularly over the last couple years, you know, in really all aspects of the program. And so, you know, it was always, you know, he was the head coach, but we collaborated quite a bit. And yes, we did have, you know, we would have, you know, differing ideas, or I don't even want to say philosophies necessarily, mm-hmm. because I think we do see the game in a lot of the same ways, you know, from that standpoint. But yeah, the opportunity for me to come and you know, just be able to try, you know, this or that, and in our roster too is a little bit different this year than it was last year and years past. And so every year when you approach it, you look at, as a coach, okay, where, you know, what's the talent level, what are the strengths, you know, that we have, you know, from an offensive standpoint, from a mm-hmm. defensive standpoint. And then, you know, and this is a guy concept that I learned is, you know, you always try to flaunt the, you know, the individual strengths of your team within a team concept. And, you know, so yes, you know, there were some things that we've done differently this year, but I think part of that just has to do with, you know, kind of the makeup of our team. This is the best shooting team that we've had at Carleton in my, you know, in my 10 years.
Right.
And so we've been able to play a little bit different as a result of that. And then, you know, defensively too, this is the oldest and most experienced team that we've had. And so, you know, we've maybe been able to do a few things, not a ton different scheme wise, but a few tweaks here and there that are maybe different than we had done past. And I think it's just, you know, it's honestly more of a result of just the skill set of the players that we have, as opposed to any like major differing philosophies. And I've said before too, that, you know, whoever took over as the next head coach at Carleton, you know, following Guy, mm-hmm. you know, I think would have been foolish to have deviated a whole lot from what he had done over 38 years.
Right.
You know, just the model that he had built was so successful and is to be commended and really to emulate. I think anybody would be, you know, be a little bit foolish or silly to kind of deviate too much from what he had done and what he has built here.
Before we get into this season and what you guys have accomplished this year, I want to ask you a little bit about D3 recruiting, which is something I've always been kind of fascinated with. It's unlike anything else. You don't have scholarships to offer, and you are coaching at probably one of the, if not, you know, one, certainly one of the three, if not the top liberal arts colleges in the country, where academics is always going to be paramount. What's it like trying to recruit student athletes at Carleton College?
It's great. It's also very stressful.
Yeah.
And it can be. And you know, I think, again, I'm so appreciative to have the opportunity to be at a great institution like Carleton. I've coached at different places with the MISC, and you know, every school has its own strengths and weaknesses from that standpoint. I think Carleton, because of all the things that you talked about, Rich, and just the, you know, the academic, the level of academics and the academic rigor that exists at Carleton, it's, you know, I think in general terms, most families, you know, are going to have an initial interest, right, in Carleton. As I say, you know, it's easier for us to, I think, get in the front door a lot of times. Now, it's a smaller pool of candidates, right? So it's because of, you know, the academic standards, the admission standards, and just some of the other characteristics, you know, as far as actually getting students to be able to come come to school here is, you know, it's sometimes it's kind of, it's threading the needle a little bit to identify all the characteristics. But in general terms, you know, we have great kids that are here. And I think that's one of the things that Guy told me when I first started was, one of the best things about coaching at Carleton is the type of kids that we get to work with, the student athletes, the quality of student athletes that we deal with on a daily basis, the quality of families that they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And that has you know, borne itself out here in my time. And I would also just add to just the collegiality that we have across campus, certainly within our department and the other coaches.
Yep.
And just in general terms, where we're all, you know, in athletics is a very competitive environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of us, all the coaches at Carleton are very competitive, and, you know, there's certainly outcome as a part of that as far as winning, losing.
Yep.
But I think in general terms, I think all of us have the perspective about, you know, where we are, what the big picture in general terms, you know, a lot of our men's basketball players are not going to go on to play professionally or in the NBA. Now I say that, and we had a kid 5 years ago who did play in the NBA a year ago, which is a very unique thing and an aberration. But, you know, I think that's one of the cool things about Carleton is just that balance that happens. And yes, we can be competitive in athletics, but also within the framework of what is most important and, you know, what's valued at the institution.
My dad played basketball at Carleton in the early 1950s. And he before he passed away, he would talk about the fact that it's different now than it was back in his day. He played basketball at high school in a really, really small high school, and got to Carleton, just decided he was going to play basketball. And Mel Tobby, who was the coach, said, yeah, if you can shoot, you can play. And just as an aside, my dad, who graduated from Carleton in 1954, said that the team his senior year, to the day he died in 2014, absolutely swore that had there been a 3-point line, his team would have set every scoring record in the MIAC, and that those records would, he swore, would still stand right now, because that team, he said, could shoot from anywhere on the floor.
Well, those guys would have fit in great with the current team that we have. We should check and see, you know, what kind of eligibility we have there, because we've got one of the better shooting teams, and Coach Talby was correct. If you can shoot, you can play, and that's certainly the case. That's a great story. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. So, Coach Kershaw, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but after one season, you hold the highest winning percentage as a coach in Carleton College history. Your team went 21-3 this year. Your winning percentage is .875. That ain't bad, man. That's pretty good.
I've jokingly said I do have my letter of resignation and retirement ready, and so because I don't know that it's ever going to get much better than this. And I was. That statistic was shared with me, and it's obviously it's a very cool thing to hear, but I don't, for me, it's all about our players, and we have such a great group of players, talent wise, and like I said, just the character and whatnot, and my job is, like I said, not to stay out of the way and not screw it up, so we have a great group, and that's very much. We set this past Saturday. We finished the regular season, won our last regular season game at St. Scholastica, and set the school record for wins in a single season. And to me, that's just such a tremendous accomplishment for the student athletes that we have. And I'm so happy for them and appreciative. And that's really something that I think will bind all of us together. And this is the type of team that. I think your dad and all of the former Carleton players, people in our community can be really proud of because of just the high character group that they have, the unselfishness that they have, and it's really, really a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I've seen you guys play 2 or 3 times this year, and I can promise you that my dad would have thought that this team was just fantastic. He would have loved watching this team. So I'm reading here from the Carleton basketball webpage. Carleton has now won 6 MIAC regular season titles overall: 19-20-21, 21-22, 22-23, 2005-2006, 2010, and 2011, and of course now 2022 and 23. This is the first outright regular season MIAC title Carleton has had in a century, which is not a bad thing to put on your resume either, Coach.
It's a pretty cool thing, and I think for me, I have as much appreciation for the history of our program, going back to when your dad played and all the way back, to Carleton being one of the founding members of the MIAC, and I think for me it's important to recognize, in my first year, I go back to. To Guy, my father-in-law, his first year as a head coach in 1984-85, and very different circumstances where, at that time, Carleton was actually transitioning from the Midwest Conference to the MIAC, and a more difficult conference going into the MIAC, and just the foundation that has been set for me in my first year is very different than. For Guy, and just the difficulty in transitioning into a different, a much more difficult conference. And so, yes, there's a lot of people that have come before that have had so much, just all the great players that have been at Carleton. Again, I've observed it. I've coached against, I've coached, with, and so many of the great teams, the Carleton teams that you mentioned, the 05, 06 team, the 2009, 2010. Yeah. I mean, all these teams I remember coaching against, and just thinking, holy smokes, these are some really good teams and really good players. And so, yeah, so just very appreciative of all that. And it's really, really a cool thing. We've accomplished some pretty cool things as a team here. And we still do have a couple more things that we would like to accomplish here as we play out the rest of the postseason here and to see kind of what happens from there.
So the quarterfinals The MIAC men's basketball quarterfinal start tonight. Carleton is the one seed. St. John's is the number two. So those two schools have byes, you and St. John's. We've got Hamlin at St. Mary's tonight. And St. Olaf, Umiaya, I'm an Ole, so go Oles, at McAllister. And then there's been a change to the schedule, too. Full disclosure, my coach, you know this, my wife is the admin in the Carleton sports or the Carleton athletics department. So she is insisting that I make sure people know there's been a change to the schedule. The semifinals were scheduled to be played Thursday night, but because of the impending snowpocalypse, the games are going to be played on Friday instead. The lowest seed will be here in Northville to play you guys, and the second lowest seed is going to be in Collegeville to play St. John's. Any preference on the matchups as we move forward here?
Well, the first thing I have to acknowledge is that not only is Annie the admin, but she is the engine that makes our department go.
And I have no doubt about
that. So you did very well to make sure that to communicate that out. And yes, as far as the way that we have approached it and the way that the MIAC this season has played out, there's so much more. There is more parity within our conference this year than any year that I can remember, honestly, in 23 years being a part of the league as a player and a coach. And so we know that whoever we play on Friday night is going to be a tough game. And, there's essentially three teams we could play. If Hamlin beats St. Mary's, we would play Hamlin. And if St. Mary's were to beat Hamlin, then we would play the winner of the St. Olaf McAllister game. And we've had great games with all those teams so far this year, and we know it's honestly this year anybody can beat anybody in our league, and so it's going to be a very, very difficult challenge for us whoever we play on Friday. But it's a great opportunity for our team. I think our guys are looking forward to it, and we'll hope to have a great crowd at Carleton Friday night semifinal game. I don't think that's ever happened to play on a Friday night at West Gym in the playoffs, and so that'll be great, and so we'll have our hands full with whoever that is, and we'll look forward to a great challenge.
It's going to be really fun, and I am going to be there. There's going to be great atmosphere for that game, and then the championship game will be Sunday at 2:00. We're just going to assume, Coach, that I know you guys get superstitious, so you don't like to make these statements, but I'll just say we're just going to assume you're going to be there, and it's going to the championship game will be at the West Gym in Carleton. So on Sunday.
Well, I appreciate your optimism. We'll certainly need to take care of. We'll have our hands full on Friday. It would be great. It would be great if that's the case. To be able to host the championship game on Sunday, and and then we'll see what happens from there. I mean, there's whoever wins the conference tournament will receive the at-large bid. Will receive the automatic bid from our conference to get into the NCAA tournament. And there's a chance that we would be able to receive an at-large bid potentially, depending on results, if we weren't able to to receive the automatic bid. And so I think that would be a pretty cool thing, for our student athletes to be able to experience. But we have a lot of work to do to get there. And I know it sounds like coach speak, but it's very true where for us that we've approached this season, my family is a big golf family. Uh-huh. And, we've approached every game, basically like a hole, in a round of golf, right. Where, mm-hmm. you can't get too far ahead of yourself. And double bogey is always just one swing away. I know that as well as anybody.
Yeah,
and
so do I.
for us, we just try to focus one shot, one swing, one practice, one drill at a time, and kind of take it from there.
Right. Well, let's just focus on Friday, take care of business, and take it from there. Coach Ryan Kershaw, thanks so much for joining us. This was a fun conversation, and good luck the rest of the way, man.
Thank you very much, Rich, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Friday.
All right. Take care.
Take care.